guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
I just got a text from somebody. They will remain nameless. But they got, let's just say they have incredible credibility when it comes to basketball. And they mentioned to me, call Anthony Towns. Maybe
right.
In Portland, and you make a move involving Nurkic, McCollum, or whomever.
What they, and bring in,
and bring in call Towns. Anthony Towns.
What?
That is so reckless right there. See,
very reckless.
That's the exact what? Type of thing. That's the exact type of thing that I just can't tolerate. I mean, if you if you don't have your sources in order, I can't tolerate that type of reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation.
How quickly, when that came out, by the way, that was Stephen A. Smith, the man, the myth, the reckless speculation.
Tell the people it was.
I love how we've gotten to the point now with these morning, these national talking head morning shows. Like Shannon Sharp is just cold calling Julio Jones 2 weeks ago.
Has
no idea he's on TV, right? And Stephen A. Smith is just busting out text messages from executives or whatever around the league, right, on live TV. But the reaction immediately, I think, from like the Wolves blogosphere, which I love, was just, this is ridiculous. I don't know. I think we should lead our Monday statements with it, gentlemen. Little
reckless speculation
segment within a segment, as we like to say here on Mackie and Judd.
Tells You've got perfectly
reckless speculation within statements. Let's hit the music. I'll start, you guys. All right. Here's my statement. The Karl Anthony Towns trade rumors are already starting, and I think they're far-fetched, but I'm here for it. That's my statement. I think they're far-fetched, but I'm here for it. Let's start with the Stephen A. Smith thing. How much validity do you think there is to the notion that Karl Anthony Towns, who's been playing on all these losing basketball teams, I think the perception locally is, well, they've got something brewing here. They won a bunch of games down the stretch. You got Anthony Edwards and D'Lo in the backcourt, and that thing was working. Mm-hmm. And Karl Anthony Towns is as good as he's ever been, and Chris Finch is the straw that stirs this drink, and they just need to keep adding to, like, locally, we feel like, well, there's a lot of good things happening here. But nationally, they just look at this thing as either a 15-year or a 30-year dumpster fire, depending on how far back you want to go, and that it's just inevitable that Karl Anthony Towns is going to get traded at some point. So how much validity do you think there is to just random people texting Stephen A.? Yeah, Cat's gone.
Well, to go that far, no, but I do think that I think it's plausible to say that there are definitely conversations and phone calls, and that the Wolves are probably going to get a ton of phone calls about Cat, because it does make sense to look at the Wolves as a dumpster fire and be like, well, you've got your key piece in Ant, and so is Carl really your key piece as well, or what? Yeah. Now, I think what he's getting is very much like the Twins and Barrio stuff. I think it's intelligence that isn't coming from the team itself. It's coming from outside, but that doesn't mean that the calls aren't being made. So, do I think it's made up? Absolutely not. I think that there are calls, and I do think a lot of teams are probably going to inquire about Cat, especially, again, because there's probably going to be a perception, well, is this Ant's team now? And if it's Ant's team, does that change the dynamic for Cat? But, like you, have no real concern or thought that trade would happen during the course of this summer. But I do think there's going to be lots of talk about it.
By the way, in this case, you could say that the call is coming from inside the division, the Northwest division inside the Western Conference.
Get out of the division. That's what I've been saying for years.
Is it the Trailblazers that the Wolves have, like, the worst record in the world against, like, in their arena? Isn't that a place like a house of horrors historically for the Timberwolves? I thought I remember that Portland's always given them, like, insane, insane fits.
The Wolves in general, I feel like, just don't perform well against anybody
that's
historically. The Suns early on, I don't know if you guys remember, the Wolves had lost, like, their first 28 or some. They went on some ridiculous losing streak against the Suns and the Bulls, like in the 90s, before Kevin Garnett and Marbury finally put an end to it. But the Blazers have been a problem inside that arena, for sure.
They have played 123 regular season games in Portland, and the Wolves had 36 victories. So, okay, yes, a pretty terrible, it's the Wolves.
It's the Wolves. So why are we not talking about more from a national perspective? Why is there not more conversation about what the Blazers are going to do with Dame, though? Because Dame's a great player. I love him, but I feel like the way this league operates, there should be talk about what would be best for him and where he should play. So this must be the last stand of how can we get him more pieces, and now that Stotts is gone as coach. And by the way, just quickly, how about the fact that the NBA had two coaches flat out fired? The guy with Orlando Clifford, I believe, is his name, mm-hmm. and Terry Stotts, and that both the reports were they've agreed to part company. Is that the new fired?
Agreed to part ways.
Agreed to part.
Listen, yeah. Terry Stotts, we've had one of the most clutch and best players in modern NBA history, and can't get out of our own way. Now, I will say, I don't know what else Terry Stotts is supposed to do when C.J. McCollum, who's a good player, is the second best player on that team for years. So I get the logic as people start to piece together how can the Blazers help Dame Lillard. Well, a guy like Karl Anthony Towns just sort of elevating the number two player on that team makes a lot of sense. I still don't think it makes sense for the Wolves to just trade Cat to the Blazers, even if it's a three-way deal, for nothing. And that brings me to NBAanalysis.net for part two of Karl Anthony Towns trade rumor weekend. Okay?
Reckless speculation.
Now, Stephen A. Smith is reporting buzz. NBAanalysis.net just has five blockbuster trades we would love to see this offseason. So this is just like their wish list of trades. And they float a couple different ones out there. They float, I think there's a Knicks trade in there somewhere, and they get to this one. Karl Anthony Towns to the Golden State Warriors. And I mean, the logic is simple, right? You're going to get Clay back, but you're kind of toward the back end of your window. And if you can, instead of tinkering around with Kelly Oubre and James Wiseman, just get a bona fide star to go with the Hall of Famers in the backcourt, right? And Draymond Green still has a couple years left. And you put Karl Anthony Towns in the middle of that ecosystem. And the logic there is Golden State's back to being the favorite in the Western Conference. But here's the kicker. You'll never believe what the trade package is. So according to NBAanalysis.net's wish list, to get a trade finalized, James Wiseman would have to be at the forefront, which would be good for the Wolves. And Andrew Wiggins would also have to go back to the Timberwolves to make salaries work.
Wait,
hard no.
They really
hard no.
They no, but they really did this as a dream. So they basically don't care about the Wolves one bit. This is just.
But they're also sending Damian Lee, Eric Paschal, and multiple first round picks back to the Timberwolves. Oh, okay. So maybe this is where, like, if the only way I would consider this, mm-hmm. and I don't even I think you can do this if Golden State were to get the Wolves pick. Could they send it back to the Wolves in a trade? By the way, I'm not looking to trade Karl Anthony Towns anymore after what I saw in the last month.
Yep.
I want to go one more year for sure with this nucleus and see what happens. But
yep.
But these are just things, I think, as you look at what the national perception is of Towns and the Timberwolves, you're already seeing, like, we're one round into the NBA playoffs, and already you got talking heads and websites around just looking for ways to pull Cat away from the Timberwolves.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say, nationally, that the Wolves are perceived by the media as essentially a potential feeder system for the rest of the league. And so, like, if the Wolves have a player like this, it's going to be talked about. How can you get that player to a good team? So it's going to be more fun. So,
yeah.
So if I can go second, because I'll give you a statement off of your statement. And that is this. As much as we love one reckless speculation, which is fantastic, and as much as we do love trades, because trades are great, the time is not right to trade Cat. That doesn't mean it won't be eventually, and you know, because I don't know where this is going to go, but if you look at what the Wolves have done, the fact that Chris Finch came in and did a pretty darn nice job, but didn't have a training camp and clearly didn't have much practice time, and that he's now going to have the luxury of all of those things this coming fall, and that we get to see Finch's system installed completely with Cat and Ant D'Lo, and the fact that things are going to change greatly probably for this franchise in the next coming year or two, the timing is not right to trade Cat.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, we did an episode back in the early part of 2021 in which Cat came back from injury, and I don't think D'Lo had gone back on the injured list with the knee surgery, but it was just like, you know, at what point after half a decade, you got to win some more games. Like, if he's going to be the centerpiece of your team, you got to win some more games. But I was a little early on that. I was sort of in the mode of, listen, if they want to shop him this offseason and they can get a haul for him, whatever, just make Anthony Edwards the centerpiece. But this thing just looked very intriguing with Chris Finch at the helm over the last month or so. And so we're going to get more of this. This is not going to be, I'm sure the Wolves are going to get phone calls.
Yeah.
But I'm sure, and Gerson Rosas, he's not going to be super open about this, but he is a friend of the show.
Friend of the
show.
We can
get him on at some point.
I'll text him.
Oh, he'll tell us what's going on. I'm getting calls from, yeah, Parler, are you guys kidding? We've got calls from everybody.
You know, Gerson just started following me on Twitter and Instagram, and I'm just like, I'm always a little bit ashamed. Because
that was a drop right there.
I'm saying, like, I'm always a little bit ashamed in that, like, they're going to be so disappointed in my accounts. I don't have any value to offer Gerson on social media.
Well,
I'm probably just
going to
rip. I'm ripping his owner.
You'll criticize
all the
his
time.
Team left and right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's
that's
just
gonna fine.
Be like pictures of like food and restaurants that he doesn't care about.
He might care about those things, though.
He might.
I don't think so.
Like he really might. Know. He might actually have decided to follow you not for your sports takes at all, but for your food and restaurant takes.
I guess
You know what could be very concerning is if a lot of Wolves people start to follow Phil because they want to know what life is like
yes.
in the Pacific Northwest.
That's what I was exactly about to say.
They're scouting.
Like Gerson's
like,
hey, Phil, do you like the place, the area that you live in? And you're like, what, Gerson, why? I mean, you're happy in Minneapolis. Well, yeah.
What are your three favorite neighborhoods to live
yeah,
in?
Yeah.
I'm asking for a friend.
Could you go out today and find out more about the school system in Seattle for me,
Bellevue,
please.
Yeah.
Could you go vet the Seattle school system for me? I mean, I'm just asking you to do that. I can't really tell you why.
Amazing. So, all right, we're going to keep getting these rumors.
Reckless all right. I have a Wolves statement that I'll get into here, too, and mine is don't fall into the Wolves trap. So what I mean by that is, and I know there's two decorated Wolves fans, mostly Phil here, but what, they went 7-6 down their last 13 games. They played 500 basketball over their last dozen games of the season. They showed some promise. They showed some life. But, I mean, let's be honest. They were reeling it in against some pretty bad teams. The Wolves have done this before. I like what I'm seeing in Anthony Edwards. I think it's his team. I really do think this is now his team going forward, and I'm excited to see that. But I think they're still so far away, and they need like to hit a great trade or a great swing to put them even into the conversation of the top 10 of the West. So, yeah, a little maybe premature to start the Karl-Anthony Towns trade rumors, but I still think the Wolves are going to need a lot more pieces or one more integral piece to put them over the top into the conversation of being one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So the falling into that Wolves trap of, oh, but down the stretch, we looked all right, and there's been a new coach here, and like we've heard that song and dance so many times, so many Minnesota sports fans do. And I want the Wolves to be good in this town because it's good for business. But at the same time, don't fall into a Wolves trap because last season's ending, in my opinion, is classic Timberwolves fandom.
Okay, and that's fair. But the other Wolves, to me, that's one Wolves trap. But then, like, the bigger Wolves trap is, oh, we can't make it work with this superstar. And so I guess we'll shrug our shoulders because we're incompetent and trade him, right? Like, oh, man, it really sucks that we have Kevin Garnett for 12 years and can't get out of the first round more than once. And so instead of like rolling up our sleeves and trying to find something to pair with him after Cassell and Sprewell go over the age cliff, it's like, oh, let's try Mike James. Oh, my God, it didn't work. Let's trade him, you know, or Kevin Love. Well, Ricky Rubio can't shoot. Well, I guess we'll just trade everybody.
Yeah.
You know, they just like just be competent. Just be like you've got some stars here. I think the hope here is that Anthony Edwards quickly becomes what Devin Booker has become over the last handful, like that he just becomes this 30 points when you need it, fourth quarter clutch player that can hit from anywhere. And like you're seeing these guys, these wing players that are just sort of combo guards, and they can just drop 40 points when they need it in a big game. Donovan Mitchell with the Jazz. I want if Ant turns into that quickly, I think we're going to be talking about a team that I'm not saying wins a championship in like the next 3 to 5 years, but you're talking about a team that's going to be, especially with LeBron coming down and Steph and Klay are in their mid-30s, there's going to be room to emerge into the top six or eight in the Western Conference in the next 2 years.
And there's also currently 10 spots now with the play-in. So, like, you've got a chance to get yourself into what I think we all would agree would be a productive franchise here. The thing with Cat, too, though, so here's where I'm intrigued. Not just Cat on the floor as far as what he can do. I'm also very intrigued by with Ant there now. And Ant, and I agree with Dex. Like, I think that the personality of this team is going to morph into Ant's team, and that process is already in place. So where I'm curious to see this play out is what's that dynamic going to be like for Cat? Because I think it's going to be freeing for Cat. I think he's going to like it. I don't think he's the type of person who likes the whole, this is your team, Cat, and you. And like Butler tried to challenge him to beat that guy, and it completely backfired. Ant's not going to be a jerk here. I think Ant's just going to accept the mantle that this is his team, and it's going to allow Cat to still be a complete star player. Yeah. But as far as personality-wise, it's going to allow him to morph into a role where I think in life he's far more comfortable being. And that's part of the equation that I really want to see play out now, because Cat could be far more effective in many ways being in that role where he's still counted upon to be really, really good, but it's not, you know, quote unquote, Cat's team. It's going to be Ant's team because his personality is just so damn good.
Yeah, and it would obviously, if like Damian Lillard was the Batman and Cat was the Robin, that would be that's an intriguing thing for national talking heads to speculate on, and I totally get that. Or if he was the third guy, second or third guy out in Oakland, San Francisco with Golden State. Like, I get it. I get the national speculation, but I think you owe it to Anthony Edwards to see if that scenario can play out here in the Twin Cities. Boys, let's. Are you guys good on Wolves here? Can we get to some Twin stuff here?
Oh, absolutely.
Big weekend for the Twins.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I'm locked and loaded with hot Twins takes.
Yes. Same.
Perfect. And our Twins discussions, talking Twins every day here on Mackie and Judd, powered by our friends at Dennis Kirk. And summer is heating up, legitimately heating up. Very swassy weekend in the Twin Cities. Motorcycle season is in full swing. So whatever you ride, whether it's a Harley, Indian, Metric Cruiser, sport bike, you'll find what you need at DennisKirk.com. 160,000 parts and accessories in stock, clothing and helmets as well. Order before 8 p.m. They ship the same day, and shipping is free on orders over $89. DennisKirk.com, best in the business. I have concluded. A big home run by Miguel to put the Twins in front in one of those wins over the weekend. Miguel Sano is the Kirk Cousins of the Minnesota Twins in that a lot of his productivity comes either when the season is no longer, like when they're 10 games below 500, or in the case of Kirk Cousins, they were 1-5, and then he hits the gas pedal, or it's in situations within games where the game is largely out of reach. Not all the time, but when you look at Sano's career numbers, okay, when the margin is 4 runs or more on either side of whoever, like whether they're down by more than 4 or up by more than 4, his OPS is 100 points higher in his career than, for instance, in tied games. So, big home run, put the Twins in front, but of course, where was he when they were slipping 3 games, 5 games, 10 games, 12 games under 500, right? Then he hits the gas pedal when a lot of the pressure is hit. So he reminds me of Kirk Cousins. Look at, see? Miguel, you guys wrote off Miguel. Well, where was he when they were 500? Where was he when they needed him in the middle of April, the beginning of May, right?
Yes.
I mean, congrats. You beat the Royals. But, it's like the Jaguars. Well, see, Kirk, I mean, it was the Jaguars. And then it was the Panthers. And you guys were 1-5.
Yeah, like, I was going to say, and where he had just this? Had one of his worst games against the Falcons.
Yeah. Fair comparison?
Yes. I'm hot about this weekend, and I don't care about the 2 wins.
What do you mean they won?
They won 2 games. Friday night was a gross embarrassment. I am upset about this weekend. Like, I was bordering.
We got to watch Astudillo pitch again. I don't know. You don't want to have fun
shaking,
watching baseball.
I was so mad. All right, off your
Josephus pitches.
Yeah, isn't it funny? Oh, it's great fun. It's fun at the ball yard. It's so great to see complete gross incompetence from everybody, from the manager on down. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. My statement, and it does sort of coincide or work with your Sano statement as well, as my statement is very, very simple. YouTube subscribers, YouTube TV, you were the lucky ones, because you couldn't get Bally Sports North. And people like me lauded it over your head. Oh, I've got it. I've got cable. I pay a big cable bill so I can watch all the Twins games on Bally Sports North. Nana, nana, boo, boo. Yeah, look at me. Aren't I cool? In every way, you won, okay? I give up, including this one. Post-game show yesterday, coming up on Bally Sport or on Twins Live or Bally Sports Live. I don't know what you call it. I don't even care. Coming up, and I believe they showed a graphic on this. Miguel Sano continues, or Miguel Sano's big day, or Miguel Sano's hot streak. Look at the box score yesterday.
Hot streak.
He had a double.
It's like two hits in 2 weeks.
He had a double, and this is just the tip of the iceberg. But he had a double that drove in a run on Sunday, and then I believe he struck out at least three times. And I think he was 1 for 5, okay? And you're going to break down postgame. You're going to try and sell to me. Let me get this straight. You're going to tell me. You're seriously going to sit there and tell a guy who's paying a massive cable bill to get your network that this guy had a good day and that Miguel Sano, oh, man, he really got into a groove because he hit a long home run on Saturday, which we knew was coming, and that he had a double on Sunday, and then he struck out, and he didn't just strike out. He looked completely lost again, completely feeble. Tip of the iceberg, though, because on Friday night, can I get to that just quickly?
Oh,
on
no, Friday, the floor is all
on
yours.
On Friday night,
yeah,
I'm watching.
All yours.
On Friday night, again, the guy with the big cable bill, okay? Big cable bill. So I got a right to be and moan here.
Who's got two thumbs and a big cable bill? This guy.
This guy right here, sitting right here. All right. So on Friday night, I mean, that thing goes sideways instantly. 9 first inning runs against Matt Shoemaker, who I believe got one out.
By the way, I loved at the end where Matt Shoemaker and his press conference said, he's just baffled. Like, statistically, it's so improbable. It really is, Matt. It really is improbable.
9 runs.
So unlucky.
He's doomed, Nick. Everything is somebody else's. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, God was against me.
Why do these girls keep ghosting me? What am I doing wrong? Is it me?
Yes, it probably is me. Improbable.
Yes.
But we got so again, the guy with two thumbs and the big cable bill had to sit through a baseball game where the announcers were basically just started telling stories and ignoring the game and didn't give me anything on this team that has gone so, give me something. Tell me what's going wrong here. Like, I'm not asking you to rip them for the entire game, which I did put on Twitter. I'd like to back off from that just a little bit, but I am asking you to give me an in-depth breakdown on what's going wrong here. I mean, Shoemaker's giving up 9 runs and nobody's really somebody could tell me, okay, here's what's going on, or here's what we think. The whole thing is it's coming undone at the seams, and I start to get stories about things I don't care about. It's just, it drives me crazy. My intelligence is so insulted by any game that Bally Sports North, aside from one guy, Jim Pete for sure, okay? I absolved Jim Pete completely. But aside from Jim Pete, no analyst ever tells me what the hell is wrong.
By the way, it's
ridiculous.
There are 105 pitchers in baseball this year who have thrown at least 50 innings to qualify for the ERA title. Matt Shoemaker is the only one with an ERA over 7.
Oh, that's nice.
You know what's weird? It's like I watch him pitch, and I mean, he just seems like he's working so hard. Did you see the excuse too about the sweat? He said he couldn't drive.
Oh, no.
Oh yeah, he used an excuse about it's incredible. Like
maybe what's happening is other pitchers are using these like amazing elaborate like science lab substances to get $300 million contracts like Garrett Cole, and Matt Shoemaker has just been using like sweat glands and like is Matt Shoemaker just using like the slipperiest substances ever? He can't hit a spot. Show Matt Shoemaker what Garrett Cole is using to get some extra spin rate on those pitches.
Could he get a potential from baseball? Could he get a waiver to cheat? So, like,
just please. Even the hitters are like, dude, just here.
Just let him cheat.
I want to hook you up with my guy here. Like, he's supplying half the pitchers in baseball with a tacky substance.
I got this stuff from Europe. It's fantastic. Give him a waiver to cheat because he needs something.
Oh, my God. All right, Declan.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So as some of our loyal audience knows, I took a little vacay over the weekend. I flew down to North Carolina, and off the Judd's Twins Point, I got on a humongous soapbox on Friday night with my brother and his two neighbors in the garage over the Twins. And I think
this like this is just you guys, or is this on social media?
No, this was live in person, just us down in sweltering heat in outside of the suburbs in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I think I mentioned on the last time I went down there a few months ago that we go down there, we talk baseball. They're big New York fans. They love the Yankees. They love the Giants. So they saw me right before the season started, and they had high hopes for the Twins because they like rooting for the Twins. But they asked me, what the hell has happened? You know, I thought your Twins were supposed to be great. You're going to be winning the AL Central. You'll be in the driver's seat. And I, in a couple cocktails in as well, went on a drunken rage of how much this team pisses me off. So my statement is, even when I'm 1,000 miles away, unplugged from Minnesota sports, the Twins still manage to piss me off. And I just got on an absolute soapbox about it, how they can't pitch. They're old. They have no prospects that are basically being given good opportunities. Their core players are now regressing. And eventually, to a point, my brother was like, Declan, we get it. You're pissed off. Get off your soapbox. And I was like, no, I'm not going to get off my soapbox. They asked me my opinion on this ball club. I'm going to give it to him. So even when I'm 1,000 miles away, unplugged from Mackie and Judd, unplugged from Minnesota Twins, I have the group chat muted. I'm not texting you two. I still find a way on a Friday night in another state to get upset about the Minnesota Twins.
I mean, there needs to be therapy for this. And maybe that's our business.
That's what we are.
Maybe we need to just pivot and charge people. Listen, if you're finding yourself at family gatherings multiple states away, you're supposed to be unplugged. There's no need for you to at all be following a 13 games below 500 Twins team on a Friday night with family, cocktail in hand, and you just can't unplug mentally.
Can't.
We're here for you. I'm Mackie and Judd. In fact, there's a feedback tab on the new Score North app, which you can download for free on the Apple and Google Play stores. You tap on that feedback icon. You can send us a quick message, a video, a photo. We can incorporate it into the show and be your therapist. So check out the brand new Score North app.
There is no such thing as unplugging from your passions, though. I admire that, Declan. You got to carry that passion with
you.
You got to carry that vitriol.
Well, my passion for the cocktails didn't quit. That was actually heightened. I mean, that wasn't an issue at all, Declan.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
The Meadows at Mystic Lake invites you to play their award-winning public golf course. It offers a unique, challenging, and scenic experience that both beginner and expert golfers will enjoy. The Meadows at Mystic Lake features over 7,000 yards of pristine bent grass fairways, trees and green, surrounded by acres of wildflowers and prairie plants. This oasis, just minutes away from downtown Minneapolis, provides a magical escape to nature. It's never too early to book a tee time or shop the pro shop. Stop in or visit golfthemeadows.com. That's golfthemeadows.com. Owned and operated by the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community.
All right, let's anybody else have any other Twins thoughts, twin statements here? Because I got a couple other topics I want to.
Oh, I got another tour. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. You got your last Twins one.
Yeah. Last Twins one. Dude, you don't know the anger that I felt on Friday night. You don't know that.
This is your opportunity. Go for it.
This is your time to shine right here.
Okay. All right. This is off wins, by the way. I'm about to say this off of two wins. Rocco Baldelli, you've got to be kidding me. Let me get this straight. Saturday in the eighth, you're up by, I believe, one run, 5-4. Taylor Rogers comes into pitch. Looks great. 12 pitches. Bing, bang, boom. Taylor Rogers. Ninth inning comes around. I think maybe Taylor will come back because he's pitching well. And this is not an ordinary, like, you're not sitting in first place here. Your team simply just needs to win a bleeping baseball game. I don't even think it's for position in the standings. I just think you need to win a baseball game. Taylor Rogers, 12 pitches. Oh, yeah, bring him back. Hansel Robles comes in.
Judd hates Hansel.
Immediate double that almost goes out as a home run to center. Now, eventually he gives up a rocket to Simmons that turns into a 6-5 double play, okay? But it was a rocket. So the Twins catch a break. 5-4 win. Okay. All right. Cut a break. At that point in time, Rocco does not make my statements because I'm like, okay, I didn't like that, but whatever. And then he crossed the line on Sunday. Hansel Robles comes in the eighth. All right. Okay. Like, I swallow hard. I get it. Statistically, it looks fine. That's something, too, is if you just look at Robles' statistics, they look okay. If you watch him, it drives you crazy. So yeah,
his ERA is 3.04 this year.
Yeah. Well, and like if you look at his outings, they all he walks guys, but it's way worse to watch than it is to look at box score wise or statistically after the fact. So anyway, Robles, eighth inning pitches well. Good for him. And now it's Taylor Rogers time. And Whit Merrifield is coming up for the Royals to lead off the ninth. And I believe he's hitting 330 or something off of southpaw. So that's, you know, but I mean, still, Rogers is the better option here. He just is. And Robles isn't. Because you know if you overextend Hansel, something's going to happen. Rocco sends him back out for the ninth. He gives up an immediate rocket to Whit Merrifield, who's standing on second base. And now Rogers comes in, and he does close out the game. But what are you doing, Rocco? Like you don't have to go by the book. You can go by gut. Taylor Rogers is pitching pretty damn well right now, which actually makes me feel good about him. But Hansel Robles is, and he is the problem with people who actually don't watch games and check out statistics. He's the poster child for the problem. What are you doing?
I don't know, like, how many options they have. Like, Taylor Rogers can't just pitch all of the innings. And so, have to finish games with guys other than Taylor Rogers sometimes.
No.
I mean, I agree with you that Hansel Robles walks the plank every time he's out there. But
I would have gotten the Robles continuing to pitch into the ninth if Rogers had pitched two innings on Saturday. But I mean, this was just a flip-flop.
See, why can't you watch these games over the weekend and say, flip-flop. Wow, another triple play. Miguel Sano is the triple play whisperer. He's just out there every year. He's just turning triple plays. Why can't you just be happy, man?
We've turned more triple plays than playoff wins in the last 20 years.
Oh, absolutely. Since 2017, they've turned like five.
Yeah, they definitely have. They have a lot more than playoff wins since 2004, right?
No.
How many other teams have as many triple plays turned as the Twins in the last, like, 10 years?
I actually saw this from Sarah Langs, who does a ton of stat stuff. I believe she tweeted from 2005 to 2017, the Twins didn't turn a triple play. And since 2017, they've turned, like, five.
Yeah.
Look at that. See? I don't know. That's what I took away from the weekend. Miguel Sano is clutch, and he's the triple play whisperer. And
I'm still upset about it. They won two games, and I'm still upset. I'm with Declan here. I'm just at my wits.
Do you have another twin statement?
Let me see. Let me check up my notes. Oh, yeah. One more. Give me more Nick Gordon. I think this kid can play.
Yeah, where was he for, like, the last 3 years?
He was bare. And, well, Phil, the last, like, 2 weeks, but before he started to play, before I think Arias got hurt, Nick Gordon was with the team. They just wouldn't play him. Like, it was the most incredible thing because they play guys. I mean, they play everybody they can, but they wouldn't play Nick Gordon. So here's what they need to do, and it's not that hard. Nick Gordon played second. I would personally, at this point in time, a lot of days, not every day, but a lot of days, move Polanco back to short for now. And Simmons can play occasionally until I trade him. But Andrelton Simmons playing for you right now, like, if the choice is exploration of the future, right, or let's try and milk a win from a shortstop who at the plate does almost nothing, but he can play short. Okay, that ship sailed in April. Like, that's gone now. This team lost entirely too much. So I want to see as much of Gordon as possible because I think there's a fighting chance here that he can really play. And seeing Simmons play does you no good. It does you no good at this point.
I hear you. Yeah, I mean, they need to showcase some of these guys to be traded, I think. We're kind of, now that we're in June here, we're a week into June, you're getting to the point where, all right, I know they just won two straight games and there's probably still a lot of people. I'm sure Twins Daily will have 9 features about how the Twins have turned it all around, but like they're going to start trading veterans at some point here. So you want Andrelton Simmons to be front and center with the glove to show somebody hey, he can come in.
You know, he can play defense. They know he can play short.
I'm saying, like, if you sit him 5 days a week, then the value goes down. Because the other team is going to be like, well,
I think you're going to get.
You're the worst team, you're the fourth worst team in baseball, and you guys don't see value.
Play him, Nick Gordon. That's my mandate. Anyway, I'm done.
All right, here's my moving on to other topics here. Floyd Mayweather is the most boring great fighter of all time, but we keep falling for it. So, most people keep falling for it.
I didn't watch it.
Did you buy the pay-per-view, Bill?
I did not buy the pay-per-view, but I did watch it.
Yeah, got it. Got it. Mm-hmm. I got you.
You know, you two are robbing the economy every day.
Robbing the economy, please.
I think, Floyd has talked openly before the fight against Jake Paul and after the fight about how this is legalized bank robbery. You know, somebody asked him on one of those Showtime lead-ups like 2 weeks ago. They do the 24/7 thing. You know, a lot of people wondering, why are you fighting a YouTube star in Jake Paul? He goes, when someone offers you a chance to rob a bank legally, you do it. And so there was a point in that fight, which
Good
was an eight-round fight. And by the way, Floyd was giving up like 40 pounds in weight and like 4 inches of height. And so like he would never fight someone that size that has an actual background as a professional boxer. But there was a point in that fight where Floyd knocked him out. And you could see Jake Paul's like lifeless body starts to go limp. And Floyd holds him up for like 10 seconds and pretends to hug him so that Jake Paul could come to consciousness and they could
keep him. He's got a heart?
No, it's not a heart. Mm. He's got a brain.
Yeah.
And the more that he can make these exhibition fights look like they're actual competitions, the more he can line, you know, a second one, a third one, a fourth one up. But Floyd Mayweather, and you and I, Judd, you and I went to Royce's house to watch the last real fight he had was against Conor McGregor. Like that was... This was an exhibition against Jake Paul. The Conor McGregor thing was an actual, like, sanctioned fight. And he makes $100 million off all these, regardless of what you call him. But we went to that. So that's the last time he fought in a real fight 4 years ago. The last time he knocked somebody out, not a TKO, like a real knockout, was 10 years ago. He's a defensive fighter.
Yes.
He doesn't throw haymakers. His fights are the most boring of any top fighter in history. And he makes $100 million every time he steps in the ring. Bravo to him, I guess. Bravo to him.
What was the pay-per-view price for this one?
I think it was $50.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Oh,
I think it was
God.
$50. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Chad Ochocinco was part of the undercard, and he went four rounds before getting his clock cleaned.
What's going on with guys trying to box who don't know how to box?
I don't know.
Yeah, boxing's in a weird spot.
Who was the basketball guy that tried to box a few?
Nate
Six
Robinson.
Months. Yeah.
And he got, I think, didn't he get beat by Jake Paul's brother, Logan Paul?
Yes, he got his, yes.
I'm pretty sure now we got like YouTubers are just like fighting.
Do all
NBA
the Pauls
play.
Just go, just fight?
What does it say for your sport that like more people are going to pay to watch a YouTuber and a former NBA player than like your actual top stars and your top heavyweights, right?
Yeah, it's sad. Sweet science though, man. That's a dangerous thing to just dabble in, I would imagine.
Yeah. Unless you're fighting Floyd, because honestly, like, Floyd's not going to knock you out. Well, I guess he kind of did.
He might hold you up from what you just said. He might hold you up after he knocks you out.
Yep. All right, back with me.
I think we're back to Declan here. Yeah.
All right, yep. After watching what happened in the debacle on the PGA over the weekend, my statement is John Rahm deserved better. Six-stroke lead. He obviously had to withdraw because of a positive COVID test. I know there was a lot of anti-vaxxer people out there, which was, like, I think incorrect information. I believe the thing was he had one vaccine shot so far. He had one out of two. He had a close contact with someone, hence why he was getting tested every single day. And I don't know if the PGA is even doing, are they doing the rapid test for every golfer participant single day?
Well, they were. I don't know if they're
still. No, if you've, what they did is if you have your vaccination card.
Yeah.
You aren't subject to that. But the problem was Rahm had contact with a person. He's not, as you said, vaxxed. And he had contact with a person who had COVID. And so in order to participate in that tournament, he had to be tested every single day of the tournament.
And
What would you... Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
I was just
going
to say that, like, I would have loved for him to go out there on Sunday, finish the... It's golf. It's the most socially distant sport. He was playing so well. I was conflicted on the fact of when you saw that, because you saw the TV cameras go to him. I mean, for God's sakes, I think Nance made the point, like, I thought someone died. Like, he reacted like literally he had lost someone incredibly close to him. Now, I can understand his frustrations being at an all-time damn high, leading the dang tournament with the day to play up six strokes. So the frustration's for sure warranted. But I just thought in general he deserved better, man. He absolutely deserved
better.
Well,
so Jim Nance was recklessly speculating. Well, so the TV footage, I'm guessing I didn't see it. But so they show him walking off 18 and someone tells him.
Yeah, they literally go.
Oh, you didn't
see
that film?
So Jim Nance is like speculating on what happened?
I didn't. Yeah. So they show him. They're like, hey, you did. We just got your results back. You tested positive. He like collapses like down in and was like, you've got to be kidding me. Why is this happening again? I don't know if he had another, if he's been tested positive before or something.
You heard him say that? Yeah, he was
like, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, he had the hot mic and everything.
But you guys, he's walking off 18 And like, instead of that, why they didn't wait till he got into the clubhouse to be like, oh, dude, exactly. We got some.
Well, they didn't want him to walk into a clubhouse without a mask.
Like, well, but like, why wouldn't you like take him away? Like, why would you inform him? He's literally walked. He's just walked off
the
18.
Green. Yeah, he's like off.
He's
the
just
green.
Off the green. And they like run up to him and tell him.
But they also probably knew before he was walking off the green. Right?
They did.
Like, they probably knew when he was.
But
on
my point
14.
Is, why wouldn't you take him away from that? Like the cameras and inform him somewhere else. Like they did it right in front of it. It was
weird.
It was one of the PR wise, one of the most brutal things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I saw some people speculating, would there have been a way for him to come out on Sunday and just like play around by himself, carry his own bag if he wants to, and try to protect a 6-stroke lead? And I think my retort to that would be, well, all right, he has COVID, and so you don't want him to just be like out. I know that it's socially distant, but
yeah.
If he hits a ball wayward into the gallery or something, do you have to like back everyone up even more? Like, is he going to touch the flagpoles? Like, I get it. Like, it'd be one thing if it was just a precautionary thing because he had a close contact, but he hadn't tested positive. But like, he was confirmed to have had COVID, right? So
yeah.
I don't know if you can let.
Can
him
I go
play
into a slightly controversial statement totally. Off of this whole thing too?
Are we going to get fired right
yeah,
now?
We're gonna get fired.
No, I don't think we will, but we will rub some people the wrong way. But I want to make it very clear. I'm not passing judgment here. I'm just saying if you're an athlete, okay, and you elect to, and by the way, this is your right completely. So I'm not saying that this is not your right, but the vaccination has been out there now for quite some time and the country's got a lot. Like, I don't know why, but we got a lot. If you elect to slow play the vaccination and or simply just say, no, I'm not going to do it. Unfortunately, and I think this statement makes perfect sense, you are potentially forfeiting business rights because it's your right not to do it. But as we saw with Rahm, right, it's their right to be like, dude, I'm sorry, you're done. So I think it's a very interesting, like, if I'm an athlete, I think no matter politically or vaccination wise, how I feel, I'm doing it for my paycheck. I'm doing it for myself as far as what I do from a business standpoint. Which I don't think is a huge controversial statement, but I mean, he John Rahm lost millions of dollars because if he had been vaccinated fully, and I believe, and that doesn't mean that you can't get COVID, but they wouldn't have been testing him, I don't think.
Yeah. The other thing too is, not to turn this into a big vaccination debate, but what I've always been confused by, and I'm, you know, not disrespectfully, but you know, we don't know what's in it. Well, do you know what's in the smallpox one?
Yeah, no,
do you know? Do
no.
You know what's in the polio one? Like, I don't. Have you? I mean, I haven't taken a microscope to the formula. Like, I don't know what's in it either, but I know that life expectancy keeps going up, so I just sort of trust that it works. But
if you told me if you told me today, Judd, I can give you a shot, and there is a 95% chance you'll be fine, and there's a 5% chance you'll die, but the flip side is, if you take that shot, I will give you $2 million at the end of today. I'm thinking long and hard.
So you're saying if you're John Rahm in that spot and someone offers you, because $2 million,
it's around the purse probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But that's what I'm saying.
But 5% death seems a little high in that case. Would you guys risk 5%
death
for $2 million tournament winnings?
But it's not 5% death.
Well, no, but you just said 5% death.
Well, yeah. No, I'm saying I'm doing that. His choices were simpler because they weren't saying death. But yes,
Declan, would you risk 5% death
51,
for a $2 million check?
Yes.
At 51.
Yeah.
At 51, I'm doing that.
I do that at 28. I do that right now.
Okay. Because I'm doing 100%. It at 51.
Yeah, 5%.
I love how we just like the arbitrary 5% death yeah. clause here. 100%. Which has no bearing in reality.
That's
whatsoever.
It's like a Black Mirror episode. But yes, I'm down.
Yeah.
What's the lowest amount of money that you would take with a 5%?
I think I need around 2 million. I think I need 2 million. A
couple million?
Like 500,000. Half
you
million.
You take $500,000 for a five, but 5%, you have to spin the wheel.
Yeah.
And five, it's like the yeah. Price is Right wheel.
Yeah. 500,000.
So you would take 500,000? That's not that much, really. I mean, it's good, but
I mean,
it's not
yeah.
great.
But no, I would do it. I lived a good life. I'm good. If I win 500,000, sweet.
You're not even 30 yet.
Yeah, exactly. Going out in a good time. And I'm not here for a long time. My family history says I'm not going to make it long. So yeah, just give me the 500,000 if I can get it now.
Good for you.
Wow. Declan's Life Roulette is powered by PXG. And all this golf conversation, PXG Minneapolis might not be able to extend your life or prevent you from hitting the 5% death slot on the wheel that we just spun. But they can improve your golf game and lower your score, maybe even under 100. if you're like one of us here. So PXG Minneapolis, Southdale Center, check them out. They've got the Gen 4 golf clubs in stock right now, which are the best clubs that they have ever made, which is saying something. So check it out, PXG Southdale Center and PXG.com/Minneapolis. I think we're back to Judd here. Your next statement, sir.
As a hockey fan, I am glad the Wild lost. This Avs Golden Knights series is spectacular. It is moving at a pace that the rest of the teams still playing would love to move. I'm not saying that the rest of the series are bad, but this series, the speed of not just the games, not just the skating, but the passing, the skill is so high. And on one front, I think it's good for the Wild to see what they probably need to work to get to. But two, just as a fan of the sport, if you had told me, well, you know, I mean, the Wild and Avs will be fun, I'd be like, yeah, it might be fun, but I don't think it's going to be particularly close. I mean, since game one, where after the Golden Knights came back, what, after a day off when they had played the seventh game against the Wild, since game two, I mean, this series is off the rails as far as speed, as far as skill, as far as if you are a fan, this is exactly what you want from this time of year. So, unfortunately, Wild, I'm sorry. I'm glad you lost.
Hockey fan Judd is just enjoying, objectively, a great series between two great teams.
Dex, it's incredible, right?
It is. It's pretty damn awesome.
It's off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
Number one thing the Wild can learn from these two teams that they can maybe apply this offseason?
So, I got this tweet from a guy named Nick who I don't know why, but we're pretty much in lockstep when it comes to how we think about the sport. And he had a great point, and he's 1,000% right. He's like, it's not the skating speed. It's the speed of the passing. It's the speed of the how they move the puck. And I really think that's the key thing. Like, watch that part. Because the Wild can definitely has some guys that can skate. But this would be like having skill-wise, Dex. I would equate this to if you had three or four Kaprizovs on your team as far as skill goes.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Like, this is a tutorial in why, well, Victor Rask can play for you. No, he really can't. Well, Ryan Hartman's fine at center. Actually, he's not.
It's funny, like, and this is from non-hockey expert guy here, but we do talk a lot about speed, and you do need speed, quickness. You need to get to loose pucks, et cetera. But how often are you going to take a puck from your own end and just skate it? You're just going to weave through three opposing players into the offensive zone, exactly. Right? It's a tic-tac-toe precision passing game, being able to make those passes, accept the passes, and skate in. So I agree. I like that point.
Last one.
Enjoy a weed-free summer at the lake, courtesy of Aquaside. One easy application of Aquaside pellets can eliminate weeds and lake muck.
Ew!
Aquaside has been trusted by hundreds of thousands of lake homeowners since 1960. Neglecting aquatic weeds can hamper recreational activities like swimming and boating. Lake weeds can also provide breeding habitats for insects. Make your lakeshore beautiful this summer with Aquaside. Call 1-800-328-9350 or go to aquaside.com.
Yeah, any final statement? I have a final statement.
Yeah, go for
you guys. And this probably hits more with Judd than with Declan. Because Judd's an animal lover, and he has.
Oh man, this is. Oh,
we
don't do that.
Had to put we had to put Tommy down on Saturday, and like legitimately, like top five. Like if I'm ranking all the people and animals, and I grew up on a hobby farm, so we had a lot of animals. If I'm ranking like the top five people and animals that I've been sad about, like my mom dying was number one. Tommy is top five, maybe top three. And my statement is, I always wonder, like whenever an animal dies, like I've had cats and dogs and horses and stuff, and I always wonder, is it worth it? Like you just feel like garbage, and it just like rips your soul out when you have to put these animals down because they're suffering or if they die some other way. And I have come to the conclusion that it is worth it, like if you're a pet lover. So my statement is, it's worth it, even though they only live like 10 to 15 years and inevitably like they're going to die and you're going to be sad. Totally worth it. So RIP Tommy.
Tommy.
Little Tommy, man.
Good life, though, at least.
Yeah, we had Tommy and Tigger for we adopted them 4 years ago. Always adopt, help. And by the way,
rescue.
We knew, so we adopted, when they were 9 and 10, we adopted them from, I think it was the Woodbury Humane Society. And our first thought was, man, like, they're 9 or 10. We don't know what their backgrounds are, so we don't know, like, all their health records and stuff, and which makes it even less, they're probably not going to live till they're 20.
Right.
And so Tigger died 2 years later, and then Tommy died 4 years later. But worth it every single time for the joy they bring to your life. Just for Declan, just avoid the horses.
That is no problem. I mean, I've loved the idea of having a dog. I watch my friends' dogs all the time. I've always wanted a dog. I didn't grow up with a dog, but I've always really, really wanted one. And at the same time, though, because I despise when this happens with a lot of people who are my age, who have gotten dogs, especially over the last year because of COVID, I can't stand when people get a dog and they then still are out 12 hours later partying and doing all this. Like, that's why I haven't gotten it yet, because I know that's a commitment. Like, that is a humongous, especially for a dog, that's a humongous commitment that you have to make time for.
Leave him alone.
Yeah. I know you, and I know Judd's thoughts on leaving the dog
alone.
Yeah, no.
He's fine.
You teach your dog how to use the human toilet, then you're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, no kidding. Open the fridge. If they can teach them how to open the fridge and use a human toilet, you can just go away for a week.
Stella,
hey, there's beer and beer, yeah, and kibble in the fridge.
Well, no. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go away for a week. But a small dog, you can leave alone for a while, and she's very happy. She'd rather avoid us half the time.
It's been a while since I've had a dog. It's probably been like 10 years, but with cats particularly, they don't let you know that they're in pain until they're 3 days away from dying. You know,
Tigger
was always life of the party, like wake you up at 6 a.m. Hey, clowns, feed me breakfast. Like, you know, and then all of a sudden he just got quiet for a couple of days and started drooling more. And then he stopped eating. And we were like, oh, he must have a tooth issue or something, right? Right. Oh, no, yeah. He has inoperable mouth cancer and you have to put him down immediately. Mm. With Tommy, it was like he was bouncing around and he was life of the party. And then he's like eating less. And then a couple of days later, he's not eating at all. Oh, let's take him in. Oh, he has lymphoma. Or, you know, it's like, okay.
Right.
All right.
Well, so. I'm sorry about that, because that is a hard day. I remember when we put our dog down years ago, and it was just sucked.
Did you go from Holly to Stella, or did they live together?
No, we went from Holly to Stella. In fact, we put Holly down, I forget the year, and then we got Stella in 2011, but it was a pretty quick transition. But when they put her down, we went into the room when they gave her the injection, you know, and
oh my God.
I just bolted out of there bawling. Yeah. It's like, that's more, I'm not proud of this, but I handled the death of my parents far better than that.
100%.
Like I was prepared, and I don't, you know, I was like, okay, there's just something weird about it. I don't know.
No. Well, this is going to sound potentially callous toward humans too, but like when grandparents I've had a couple friends, you know, tragically pass away over the years, right? Like, if it's an animal, they're part of your daily, literally like your minute by minute daily consciousness, and they're just a companion for you. They're part of your daily fabric. You build these little routines and rituals, and you know, there's just like 100 things that when they're gone, it's like, oh man, there's a presence that they fill up in your house. So it's like, it's literally like ripping away like a part of your soul when they die.
I do think when Stella passes, I would never go a long period now without a dog again. Because their personalities are such where that the one good thing is they can be replaced. Like, it's not the same, but I don't think it helps to be like, well, there will never be a cat like Tommy again.
Well, you're treating it like Rick Spielman in the Vikings.
I think
roster,
it helps to replace him. I'm just telling you. And
sorry,
you know,
Mike Hughes, you're
sorry, seventh round pick, but we want all of them. We want all the seventh round picks.
I'm just saying, for my if I'm the GM of the house, I'm going to replace the dog.
That's the one. So we we put him down on Saturday. It was just like the worst ever. And yeah, we just needed to be like in isolation for at least 24 hours. It's like, it's going to suck for a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
But we just like took a bunch of his stuff to Goodwill, and then we threw some of the other stuff away. We got pictures and we've got some things, but we just like didn't want to be around like his like unused cat beds. And so we just thought it'd be therapeutic. Let's remember him with pictures, but let's get some of the other stuff out.
Good call.
Yep. And now it's like, it's been 4 years since we haven't had an animal. And we're kind of like, we just need a minute. We might need like 5 months or something.
Yep,
and honestly, I guarantee you in like a week, we're going to be looking at Humane Society websites and stuff for dogs and cats. And
but I think you're right. I think you definitely need to transition from the previous cat or dog stuff to the new. So like I think purging stuff, because we did the same, is a good idea. Like, because you can't pretend that it's the same cat or dog. So that's probably a good move.
So my grandpa, this is hilarious. So he's like 91 or 92, and he's just, so his wife 30 years ago, who was my blood grandma, died tragically, and then he got remarried, and then his remarried wife died a couple months ago. So she had Alzheimer's and was in a home for like 2 years. So he's been kind of solo. And he's had some tragedy. So he got a dog named Max, a schnauzer named Max. In the 90s. Schnauzers are the best.
Yeah, love schnauzers, yeah.
So he's now on, I believe, Max number 4. Time Max dies, he gets another schnauzer and names the dog Max.
God bless him, man. That's awesome.
For 25 years of, or it might be like 30 years of schnauzers named Max, and he just keeps going forward.
I like that idea. I might steal
That's what Don should do. If you get hit by a car today, like Judd just too. Go find another dude named Judd who likes
or just beer. Have him change his name. Or just call him Judd. Judd 2, Judd 3.
A Humane Society
for she might start to get investigated if she gets to Judd 3. There might be a little bit of an investigation as to the demise of Judd 1 and 2.
So it's always worth it, I guess.
Yes.
Life lesson here. Federated, we appreciate Federated. People ask us, you know, what's the best way that we can support you guys and support what you do at Score North and Mackie and Judd and Purple Daily? Support our sponsors. And if you have a chance to either buy something from a PXG or Dennis Kirk, or if you're a business owner, work with a Federated. It'll help you. It'll also help us. Also, Federated has been tracking some important things. Like, for instance, in 2020, over 43,000 Americans died in vehicle crashes, which is almost 3,000 more than in 2019, despite fewer people being on the roads. So tragedy can happen in an instant, and we just need to do a better job of handling the things that are in our control as drivers. So for your safety, for your loved ones, let's all remember to drive safely. Remember, the MyShield portal at federatedinsurance.com has great safe driving resources for you and your employees at Federated. It's our business to protect yours. All right. So we had Declan ranting to his relatives and friends in North Carolina about the Twins. Karl Anthony Towns headed to the Blazers, according to Stephen A., and some animal advice for all of you. It's a packed show today. Don't forget to check out our daily Vikings conversations on the Purple Daily Podcast. We'll see you guys tomorrow.